hello. What
is
that? I
haven't seen that either.
That's new. Hey! Welcome to the Friday postgame. I am your host, Malcolm Fleschner. With me, who is this guy? What is going on? Brett Ehrlich. You know him from Pop Trigger, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. What else do they know you from?
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Declassified, presented by Verizon. Remember those days? Okay. And then just anytime I sit next to you, it's a great day.
It is, sure. And of course, Dave Kohler. Now, Dave is always with us, or at least as often as possible, humanly possible. Steve-O could not make it today, so Brett is sitting in.
It ended up he could make it because his meeting got canceled, but he already gave up his seat.
Yeah.
Seats taken.
Yeah, after what he pulled, after that stunt he pulled? No, he's not allowed back.
What does he think he is, some kind of stunt man?
He was on last week with all the ladies, so we don't need him this week. No. So we got our usual set of games, something new, and Brett has never done the Friday post game. You're a virgin, so you don't know what you're getting yourself into. But it should be fun. I'm pretty confident we're going to have a good time. Appreciate your tuning in. How about that Friday power panel today, huh?
Oh, the best one I've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, really impressive. Are you on it?
I don't know.
Latest executive order out fucking rage.
Oh yeah, another executive order. We're joking because we're recording this on Thursday afternoon, as we always do, and it does not go, you know, appear on your website until Friday. So any big news that any other countries besides Australia, maybe Canada gets bombed between now and then. That's why we're not talking about it,
yeah,
or what have you.
I feel if Canada gets bombed, then like you won't see this show. Like it's well, that's a big enough one for us to pull it.
We'd be preempted.
We'd be preempted by some kind of
That would imply a certain sort of organizational, you know, coordination where they would know what's going on.
Right. The way that it worked, the way it's been going lately, Friday's show might also be a post-apocalypse game.
Yeah. That's yeah. We'll have to revise it because we had the apocalypse, so we're going to want to reflect that. We're coming to you from beautiful Lake Tahoe, by the way.
Oh, I love it.
It's
water's
lovely.
Back up. The water line's back up.
Is it? It's a lot of snow this year, so it should be.
Yeah, I can't believe it. Look at it in the back. It's so many.
Have you spent time? You've been to Tahoe, Dave?
Yeah, I haven't spent time. Maybe 2 days.
It's lovely, lovely.
Yeah, yeah,
Brett, you mean you're a...
Oh, you know, I've been to that Harrah's.
Oh, casino.
I got a Harrah's on Lake Tahoe.
That's
on
not
the
really
Nevada side.
Experiencing the lake particularly. But anyway, so, all right, so the first thing I wanted to do is give you a brief update. Last time, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the Gambia and the political upheaval that was going on there. We were not sure what was going to happen with the President Jammeh, who had been voted out of office, but he was not planning on leaving, and the potential for violence was high. But that was one of those instances where, in the interim between when we recorded and the show went on, he voluntarily went into exile in Equatorial Guinea, and the new president, whose name I've forgotten, has taken power. Protests have continued because the young people who were going to be possibly protesting President Jammeh are still protesting because they want all of his National Assembly out, but that's good news. I mean, that was a story where potentially, I don't know how closely you followed the Gambia situation, but... the Gambia situation, but it was a potentially, there was potentially going to be a lot of violence, a lot of bloodshed, and there wasn't. So we have a fair amount of unpleasant news to report about, you know, Donald Trump and everything going on with him, but that's one, it's a good story.
This is just kicking sand in the face of people of the Gambia, a country that goes to the great lengths to say we're the one and only.
Yeah.
And he's exiled, I guess it's a kick in the face of him, to a country, there's multiple Guineas, this is the equatorial one. So they're saying, you're going from the Gambia to just some Guinea.
Just some damn Guinea.
I don't care which one, pick a Guinea, get the hell out of here.
That sounds like an anti-Italian rant.
It
of some
does,
sort.
And brought to you by the show that played a gay tarantella to bring you in. Tarantella?
Was that a gay tarantella?
I don't know. It sounded like the song that has that lyric.
So, do you know? There's only one other country that is officially listed as the something, and do either of you know what it is?
The Ukraine.
It is not
it's
the Ukraine.
Definitely not the Ukraine.
The Salvador.
Close. Keep guessing. Go through all of them.
The Yemen.
No, it is the Bahamas.
Oh, right.
So. You can. That's a little tidbit you can take with you and keep if you get nothing else of value from this post game, which is quite likely. All right. So the first thing we're going to do is, of course, the oldest game we play, which is, of course, Totally True or Totally Bullshit with Steve-O and Malcolm Fleschner. I think, Irmo, we have some sort of intro. Oh, there it is. It's good stuff. Yeah, you weren't ready for that.
We made it through that.
So. We only have a couple of these today, and they relate to Donald Trump and the situation going on with his nominees, both for the Supreme Court and his cabinet. The first one, you can bring it up, Irma. for us, please. Senate Democrats will indefinitely block Gorsuch. This is the second one. We'll do this one first. That's okay. Senate Democrats will indefinitely block Gorsuch until Republicans eliminate the filibuster or rescind the nomination. Totally true or totally bullshit. So the way we play, Brett, in case you're unaware, is that now you will have to decide whether that proposition is totally true or it's totally bullshit. And our motto here, Dave, is what?
No nuance.
We don't do nuance. And then we proceed often to do nuance. So let's bring it back up. So Irma, if you could. So the question is whether we're going to basically have the nuclear option is going to take place. That the Democrats will they'll filibuster, and the Republicans will have to bring in the nuclear option or rescind the nomination because he will not proceed on to a full vote. So the question is whether that's going to happen. And I'll start with you, Dave, since you know how to play the game.
Right. It's totally bullshit. It's also not precisely written. It's not clear what you're trying to say with it. But well,
editors here. We have nobody, there's no oversight, nobody's monitoring.
Something at the end said the Republicans pulled the nomination. Of course that's bullshit. There's no way they're going to pull the nomination.
Well, if the Democrats filibuster and the Republicans don't.
Okay, the Democrats will put blocks in, but I don't think they will filibuster.
So you don't think they're going
to
filibuster?
They will attempt to block it. They won't get to the filibuster, so the Republicans won't have to pull the nuclear option.
That's their only option. That's all the Democrats have.
You can put some delay. Yeah. Right. In other words, they won't.
So you're saying they're not going to filibuster. So okay. So totally bullshit. What do you say, Brett?
This is 100% totally true in every way possible. And they will. If the Republicans refuse to go forward with the confirmation of Merrick Garland.
Yes.
Because it was Obama's last year in office. They should do the same for Trump because it's also his last year in office. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
they should.
They will.
But you're also saying they will.
They will. They will. You know why? Because you don't have to do anything in Congress anymore. That's the thing. Especially with the Republicans. Because the whole concept of being a Republican and like their idea of federalism is all state stuff.
Right.
So the only reason to become a federal part of the U.S. Congress is so you don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
All you do is you go do it. You thought we had to have 9 people on the Supreme Court? It's been a year. Let's do it. Let's just go all the way on this. 4-4. And then there will invent, if you're going to do any new rule changes, just have some kind of crazy feats of strength tiebreaker in the Supreme Court. Don't kick it back down to a lower court.
I don't know. Ruth Bader Ginsburg looks a little like, I'm not sure if that would be good for Democrats.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you know?
Democrats have both the women.
She's a Sith.
If it's a strength contest.
I don't know. Sonia Sotomayor, she's a wise but also a powerful Latina.
Yeah.
Orale.
All right, so let's go on. What's the next one? The next one is... Democratic senators, even those from red states like Heidi Heitkamp and Joe Manchin, who vote for Trump's nominees should be primaried. Totally true or totally bullshit. Should the Democrats, the Democratic Party, the Democratic electorate, the Democratic voters primary anybody who votes for Trump's nominees? There are like 14 of them who voted for all of them. Or no, except for not the DeVos.
No.
But all the rest of them, they've been. So you say no, don't primary them. They don't want to be primaried.
There should be a more immediate dissuasion situation. Like, this is like, I hate what you did today, so in years, I'm going to primary you. So it's not really the kind of immediate consequence that you want to set up when you're dealing with people like this. And then also, there are people that could go either way. Like, those are you need like a very far right Republican in those Democrat in those situations to get elected at all. I think if you're worried about certain votes, you need to go to other places that are more up for grabs if you're going to do your populist primary approach.
Okay, so you say it's too delayed anyway, but even if it weren't, it's not the right approach.
Well, you asked if it was total bullshit, so I thought I'd give you two reasons.
Yeah, that's okay.
Thank you.
You're doing great. Okay, Dave, what do you think? You want to look at it again?
Yeah, because once again, I quibble with the way it's written. Yeah.
All right, well, let's bring it up again, Irma. So Dave.
Two senators should be primaried, but not just because they voted for Trump's nominees, but for all the other positions they support and all the other lack of help they provide for traditionally Democratic causes.
But why? What is the point of primarying them? If you know, I mean, what they would do,
in my mind and Cenk's mind, and at TYT, you can't answer that question. No, we have a whole party dedicated to it.
I don't know, but that's the best part about this place.
Yeah,
is I can say what I want, and we all still love each other.
In fact, a few weeks ago, you did do that, and there was a lot of conflict on the show.
What did I do?
You argued with these guys. About
you exposed a nipple, didn't you?
No.
Yeah, it wasn't one of my.
They had an argument nipples. Where he disagreed with them. But anyway, that's if we can recall that, that's fine. They should be primary to put pressure on them to vote more progressive, liberal, traditionally democratic.
I agree. I don't know if I weighed in on the last one, but I think it's totally true. They should be primary, and it's not just a matter of because they are. But it's not that they're moderate or right-wing Democrats. I think it's that they're not populist enough, that they could, they're just corporatists.
Yeah.
And they need to be primaried to bring them. I don't mind if Joe Manchin is going to be a big gun rights guy because he's in West Virginia, and he has to because he's in West Virginia. But he doesn't have to be a super huge corporatist and do what the coal company wants when they're all the coal miners who are getting screwed by the coal companies.
More populist than Joe Manchin?
Yeah.
Did you see his political ad probably 6 years ago where he was getting his hair cut in his own kitchen? Oh, it was the best. If you need to go watch it now, it's just him, vacant-eyed. And at the end, he's wearing a bib, and then it takes it off, and then he turns, and you realize he's in his kitchen, and his wife's cutting his hair. I get my hair cut at home, like you people. Where we prepare food. Lots of hair fragments. You love me.
So it was like a slow zoom out to reveal that he was in his kitchen?
It's just the creepiest, dumbest thing. Do that in the bathroom. But they're like, we can't do a bathroom in an ad, so we'll cut my hair in the kitchen.
He's from West Virginia. They don't have indoor plumbing there. He'd have to do it in the outhouse.
Here's the thing. That's an anti-populist sentiment.
Oh, my God. I'm such
real people don't have plumbing, and that's the thing we need to reach out to.
Good, good. I'm glad we agree. All right, so those are your two totally true, totally bullshits for this week. Brett, thank you for playing along so enthusiastically. And now we can move on to our next game, which is, if not as popular, well, close to it. It's Weekly World News, and I think we also have an intro for this one. Weekly World News! Steve likes that intro. How about that voiceover work, huh? Pretty good, huh?
The question is, does the Morse code still spell out Weekly World News in the background?
That's an excellent question. Maybe some of you can answer in the comments section who have much too much time on your hands.
Unpaid voiceover actor.
So, the first question comes to us from the nation of Romania. Where is Romania, you may ask? We have an answer for you. It's here. It's that big red blob.
This is a trick. I see that on Oliver all the time.
In Eastern Europe. And the question is as follows. 150,000 people crowded into the streets of Bucharest Wednesday to protest against what? Was it A, eased restrictions to allow more Syrian refugees to settle in Romania? B, a new law banning abortion after an 18-week gestation period? C, a proposed law to grant early release to officials jailed on corruption charges? Or D, Neil Gorsuch's Supreme Court nomination? I'm going to butcher Supreme Court. So these are you pick out which one is your answer.
Oh, I love it.
Yes.
Interactive.
And then you show, once you've decided, you show the camera, and we'll come back. And if you got your answers at home, I hope so. You gentlemen know what you want?
Yeah.
Dave, what did you say?
I sit next to a Romanian in the office.
Shit.
That's a big, big advantage. What's your answer? We C. Dave says C. And Brett says A. Irma, what is the correct answer? Come back to the correct answer is C. Dave got that one right. One for Dave and none so far for Brett. But that's okay. You're in the Steve seat.
That made me happier.
He goes 0 for 5. The D answer is always a joke answer, and he always, and he still doesn't, he has 1 in 3 chance, and he's gone 0 for 5, and he's gone 1 for 5 a couple of times. He's genuinely terrible, so you can't do worse than Steve.
Thank you. Okay, good.
Okay, did you know this one, or were you guessing?
No. I sit next to Irina. We talked about it just yesterday.
Yeah, congratulations.
You're so corrupt.
Okay, so that's cheating.
No, what am I supposed to do?
It's cheating.
Excuse myself?
No, that's okay. He's utilizing resources.
All right, so you want to introduce the story? You want to explain
what happened?
So there was a decree passed that in Romania that could free dozens of officials who were jailed for corruption. There were at least 150,000 people rallying in Bucharest and in other towns and cities across Romania. They threw firecrackers and smoke bombs. The police responded with tear gas. And the government is led by Prime Minister Soren Grindeanu, I don't know. There's the protest. There they are. That's the Romanian flag. And I think we have a picture of the Prime Minister also, Irma. I love this story. He says that we need to have this law and release these officials who are jailed up for corruption to ease overcrowding in Romanian prisons. I mean, the idea is that they have that many officials who have been jailed on corruption charges.
It's the drug charge of Romania. It's like possession.
Right, exactly. So critics say he is trying to release his allies who have been convicted of corruption, and the EU has warned Romania against backtracking in its efforts to beat corruption. A protester, Nicolau Stansu, said, "We came to protect our country against criminals who tried to dismiss the rule of law in Romania, to protect our rights and interests, not their obscure interests." And so there are many due for release, including elected officials and magistrates who have, they want to only keep people in jail who have been incarcerated for offenses that are more than 44,000 euros that they have taken. But apparently one immediate beneficiary would be a leader of the same party as the prime minister named Liviu Dragnea, who faces charges of defrauding the state of just 24,000 euros. So he would be off the hook.
I'm fine with that.
What I find interesting is, like, can we do that here? I mean, like, the idea that we would have that we don't jail anybody on corruption. I mean, the last guy was, like, Duke Cunningham. And we have all kinds of corruption going on, and we don't jail anybody. So I wish we could backtrack on our efforts to
We just got a book from Rod Blagojevich delivered to the office.
Did we?
Blago.
Is he going to come in for an interview, you think? Is he out?
I didn't know he was out. I'll check.
He must be.
That'd be great if he
got his hair is still as magnificent. Because we, Cenk, interviewed, what's his name? The guy who stole all the Indian casino money.
Jack Abramoff?
Jack Abramoff, yeah, right? He was like a friend of the show, practically.
He passed away? He died, didn't he? No?
Okay. Well, if he didn't, good. And if he did,
speaking of corruption
that's
in foreign
sad.
Countries, total change of subject. Did you see the small, obscure little provision that the Republicans want to reversed it from Dodd-Frank? There was a little clause in Dodd-Frank that required American oil companies doing business
to declare
what, not even forbid, but to just be transparent about the payments they give to foreign officials.
Yeah, the bribes.
Right. And the Republicans want to wipe that little
provision.
That's it. Their evil penetrates to every creak and crevice.
It's open
in
season.
The legislation.
That's what they're doing. That's the thing. Is like, I feel like right now there's only like four people in Congress. There's like Marco Rubio, and there's John McCain, and there's Lindsey Graham, and maybe Joe Manchin and Schumer. And those are the only people that seem to be like saying things that have anything to do with headlines. Everything else seems to be dedicated to this kind of, you're talking about, the behind the scenes, like, all right, no one's looking. Mm-hmm. Everyone's looking at Twitter, so can we pass, like, our, you know, reworking of the ethics provisions, and can we change this, declare your donations to foreign governments?
There's no time.
While nobody's watching.
How do you cover all of this stuff and get people to pay attention to it? This is true of the Trump era, which is any number of things that he did during the campaign, which would have disqualified any other candidate, they're not disqualifiers for him. So this kind of thing that the Republicans are pushing through now, under normal circumstances, it would be, they'd be out, you know, where's the, you know, they'd be outraged, the Democrats talking about how this is abominable.
I don't know, it doesn't work, it hasn't worked for years. There's no levers that the good guys can pull. Under certain normal circumstances, that would still be an obscure, unreported.
Right, but they could.
Judiciary.
They could draw attention to it because there wouldn't be a million other things going on that were equally or much or worse.
It only points to the reclamation of the Congress, because the only institutional check it seems left against the executive and legislative branch is the judicial branch, and so that's why the Democrats need to filibuster as long as possible to maintain the balance. And in the meantime, we just need to listen the hell out of judicial stays of execution and blockages. No, judicial stays.
Where did that go?
Judicial checks against the
So the judiciary will try to block Trump's you know, whatever Trump is doing, and then he will ignore it, and then the rule of law will be eliminated in the United
States. In the establishment are totally clueless. I don't know where I saw this editorial. I didn't read it. I just read the headline. Might have
been
New York
Times.
Good,
and that's a problem with
America. Or some other mainstream thing, which said Congress has to realize its role is to be another, you know, branch of government that puts a check on the executive power. And like, I want to knock on that guy's head. Where have you been for the past 30 years about, or 16 anyway?
What do you mean that they've been doing
Congress
that?
Congress hasn't been doing.
Well, I mean, they did it under Obama.
They've been doing
under Obama.
No, that's all they've been doing. Call it, read the goddamn article. Steve, get the hell out of here.
I want him out of my seat.
You said you had a meeting that was more important.
I want him out of my seat.
No, as he sits down, he gave up already.
He said he wants Brett out of his seat. You can't hear him, but Steve has walked in and is outraged. Outraged that Brett has
read the article.
Usurped him. So
read the article.
Yes, you're right though. That like, but these are columns where these op-eds, whatever, that they just recycle the same thing. They, you know, for Congress needs to rediscover its traditional role.
That's probably a 200-year-old op-ed. Oh, that's what Congress is supposed to get. Wake up! That's not what they've been doing.
That's exactly what they've been doing under Obama. Like, what about the tooth and nail fighting against them? That's what they've been doing.
Yeah, not during the last Republican administration. They didn't do it at all.
All right, let's move on. We're getting stuck here. We got to move on to the second second question. We're going to Algeria next, right? Yeah,
starts with
Algeria.
An A.
Very good, very good. See, you're. I'm confident. He's 0 for 1, Steve, in your seat.
Matle. So. For those of you taking geography, M A T L E. Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, Libya, Egypt.
Okay, that's continue. There you got to learn the mnemonic. That's the second thing you've learned. So, okay, what is the question about Algeria? Well, let's find out, shall we? An Algerian blogger faces a 25-year jail term for doing what? Is it A, interviewing an Israeli government spokesman? B, satirically suggesting that France reinvade and return as Algeria's colonial ruler? C, recommending his countrymen travel abroad to see an Algerian-born trans singer perform? Or D, appearing in an ad campaign for pork, the other white meat? Steve, you can play along too. Don't listen to Steve. He's like, that's don't listen to Steve. All right, we have our answers. You have your answer at home? All right, so what do you say? You said B and B. Irma, what is the correct answer?
They stole my answer.
They stole your answer, Steve, yes. The correct answer is A, interviewing an Israeli government spokesman. Oh. So I think we have a picture, an image of this blogger. His name is Merzoug Touati. And what did he do? He's been charged with exchanging intelligence with a foreign power over a publicly posted video interview he conducted with a spokesman for the Israeli Foreign Ministry. He was arrested on the 18th of January, and he faces 25 years in prison for this. And in the interview, they spoke about the 2017 finance law in Algeria, which increases value-added income and property taxes and decreases fuel subsidies. The response to the law were riots in part of the northern province of Bejaia and other parts of the country. You know Bejaia, you've been there.
Yeah, sure. Dino Bejaia.
Yeah, he's great. And so the Algerian government minister accused foreign powers of orchestrating the protests, which I love. That is like such the cliche. It's always, you know, outside agitators coming in. Like who is bothered? So that's what they're suggesting, that Israel is fomenting these protests against were austerity measures. But what it turns out that, shockingly enough, Touati has consistently covered anti-austerity strikes and job protests and rights violations committed by Algerian authorities, which I suspect might be the real reason that they arrested him.
That sounds right.
And not because he had a chat with an Israeli, although that is, you know, only Egypt and Jordan among the Arab-speaking countries have relations with Israel, so there are not supposed to be official contact between the countries. So, so there's been a crackdown in Algeria over the last 2 years over those peacefully exercising their right to free speech online, and a blogger named Mohamed Tamalt entered a coma after staging a 2-month hunger strike in protest of his detainment for publishing on Facebook a poem critical of Algeria's president. So. This guy, this blogger, is potentially at risking 25 years for interviewing an Israeli spokesman, but it's probably more about criticizing the government. So Algeria, not a good place to go to criticize the government.
Whatever happened to the Arab Spring?
Yeah, what happened to the Arab Spring? Algeria
never even hit Algeria.
Yeah, I don't think it did. You're right.
But didn't do much good in the other countries.
What did you guys say? You said B. Satirically suggesting France reinvade. Yeah, no, I thought
it would be something so ridiculous, but this is like the kind of ridiculous that makes sense. Like that, I should have kind of expected.
Don't second guess yourself.
Yeah, he was a bad answer.
Just kidding. I was saying what Steve wanted me to say. I'm a puppet regime.
That's right. All right, let's move on to Costa Rica.
Steve was Steve was proposing that he reinvade this seat and take it.
That's right. Good callback. So where's Costa Rica? There it is in Central America, just I guess west/northwest of Panama. And what is the question about Costa Rica? It is as follows. Costa Rica will likely soon face a challenge to what long-standing national policy? Is it A, a complete ban on offshore oil drilling, B, welcoming migrants and refugees, C, cooperation with the DEA against international drug traffickers, or D, sending the nation's annual Hot Guys of Costa Rica calendar to Anna Kasparian? Okay. Play along at home, remember. I'll try to have last time Gigi, when she was writing out the description, put the answers in the description, so it was sort of defeated the purpose.
I kind of prefer that.
Try not to have that happen this time. She was beaten mercilessly for it. So, all right, we have our answers? Steve says C, but what do you, don't listen to him.
I forgot what it was, but I put A.
Okay, A and A. We have A. We have two A answers. What is the correct answer, Irma? I don't even know.
That was my first instinct.
B, welcoming migrants and refugees. What do you say, C?
Because you suck.
Welcoming migrants and refugees. So Costa Rica has, you know, it's like this idyllic country in Central America compared to all the tumult and upheaval in Guatemala and Honduras and the other neighboring countries. So the deal in Costa Rica is that since 1948. When Costa Rica abolished its military, the country has opened its doors to South Americans fleeing dictators and has taken a significant number of Colombians displaced by guerrilla warfare for decades. The country has one of the most well-established integration programs in the region that helps refugees find jobs, start businesses, and adapt to the new culture. But now with Donald Trump and his, executive orders and taking a hard line on immigration, there may be a lot more refugees coming to Costa Rica instead of the United States. Mm-hmm. And so Costa Rica, the refugees they've been taking traditionally are from Honduras and Guatemala and El Salvador, fleeing gang violence and that sort of thing. But and they have a really, they do a good job of attempting to integrate these migrants or refugees into the country. They also facilitate the migration of people moving north into the United States and make it easy for them. Subject to the predation by all, the horror stories you hear about those kids coming to the United States through Mexico. So Costa Rica is, it's sort of, they've done a good job with this sort of thing, but now it's potentially going to be put to the test because one of Trump's executive orders calls for the detention of refugees arriving to the U.S. while their applications are considered, and such a plan would eventually affect the tens of thousands fleeing gang violence from El Salvador, Guatemala, and Honduras. So there are going to be possibly more of those refugees, and then there's also the possibility that migrants attempting to come to the United States from the countries where they've been banned by the Trump administration, or other countries if there are additional bans, so it may put a real strain on Costa Rica, and they may not be able to afford to be as welcoming as they have been in the past.
To put it in terms of one of their chief products, they're like a coffee filter that catches these people for us in the future. That's what I'd like. That's all I know about Costa Rica is that my friend goes there and brings us coffee, so I wanted to bring it back. This is a May. This is a May happen. So yeah. I hope it doesn't happen.
Yes.
Let's be positive for once. Malcolm?
You've not been on the Friday Post game before. It's all like, bad.
Moving on.
Just bad.
What did you think, Kohler?
I don't know. The reverberations of Donald Trump are going to touch every little country in the world, including Costa Rica.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah.
Costa Rica. You guys ever been?
I've not. I hear good things, though.
I went when I was in Costa Rica. They had a.
All you know about Costa Rica is the coffee somebody brought back from you.
No, I know more.
Been there?
I know mas.
No mas.
Say mas. De veras. No. So here, there was a guy, as much as they've abolished their military, the guy outside the Pizza Hut had an assault rifle. The security guy had an assault rifle in San Jose. I'm just saying.
So, nothing. I'm not saying anything.
Just to protect us. He was the security guy had an assault rifle. That was what I was taken back. For the Pizza Hut. And I was like, whoa, this, I don't know if I feel safer or not.
I got pickpocketed in Costa Rica.
Yeah, so it's not this haven.
Yeah.
Listen, yes, it has. You go to Arenal and you get to do the zipline tour. I would do that. I would suggest that. I'd say go to Manuel Antonio, see some monkeys. Get some tourist
money. Do you know those places if you've never been
go
there?
Go to Capos?
Oh, he has been there.
Go to Capos. Oh, Mari Sombra, it's right on the water. I think it closed.
I bet it was a monkey that picked Dave's pocket. Was
they
was
do
it
that.
It was in the city. It was a human.
What was the situation? Were you like on a bus or something?
No,
or
I was walking down a crowded street.
And just did you realize it like as soon as it happened and like, oh, I know he's gone? Or was it 5 minutes later you're like, oh.
5 minutes.
And did you realize, oh, when that guy bumped into me, he probably picked
I ring. There was a lot of jostling back there, yeah.
All right.
I didn't suffer much.
I didn't suffer much.
Did you have your pasaporte?
Yeah, my passport was in the hotel.
Okay, we're going to the Indian subcontinent next. Actually, just off the Indian subcontinent to Sri Lanka. And where is Sri Lanka? Well, there it is, right off the.
Is that little dot over there the Malaysian plane?
I don't know.
I think we should submit this to the Australian government.
Interesting.
Oh, the Malaysian plane. I thought you meant plane, like PLAIN. You think that
570 or whatever.
They gave up. They've decided they're not 370. They're not going to look for it anymore. CNN must.
And that's when you find it. Is when you stop looking for it. That's how it works.
Private guys go out.
With
adoption, and you know, like when you decide you're not going to be able to have, you know, children biologically, and you decide to adopt. The day the adoption goes through,
you get pregnant.
Yeah. That's what happened to Beyonce. Okay. Sri Lanka. What is happening in Sri Lanka? Let's find out. What happened recently when a popular astrologer predicted the Sri Lankan president's imminent death? Was it A, the president died? B, the astrologer was arrested? C, the president bribed him with $10,000 to change the prediction? Or D, the astrologer won the lottery?
All of these are the funny one, though.
Yeah. The stories get lighter as we proceed.
This is about death.
Or is it?
Interesting. All right, let's do it.
It's not gold worth
it. I'll do it, Steve.
All right, do we have an answer? Do you have an answer? Mm-hmm. We need an answer. All right, so we got A and A, and you say C. Okay, that's fine. We have two A's and one C. What is the correct answer? Irma. It's B.
Oh, what the hell?
So is Sri Lanka's a jerk
because you suck.
All right, this is crazy. This is why I love doing this, because some of these stories are nuts. It's this guy named, let's look at the president first. I don't know which image you have first, Irma, whichever one we have first. So there's the president, Sri Lankan president, Maithripala Sirisena. So, an astrologer made several predictions, one of which was that the president would die. The prediction was that he would die of an illness or an accident before January 27th. He did not die.
Oh, thank goodness. Yes. But he seems like kind of an asshole for arresting this guy. So.
Well, just wait. So, where's the astrologer? Let's take a look at him. Okay, there he is. I'm not even going to try with his name.
In the kitchen of a Wendy's, it looks like.
He's... You're right. It does look like he's doing some... Do the dishes before people come over. Come on. So... So that's the suspect. He was arrested and released on bail. The charges were making false predictions and comments that could mislead the public. He posted several videos on Facebook making this prediction, and the media ministry secretary Nimal Bhopaj asked police to investigate. Bhopaj said he suspected a possible coup and assassination attempt were behind the astrologer's sustained campaign on the internet during the last few months. Why would he think that? Because this astrologer spent 2.5 years in prison for attempting to assassinate India's then Prime Minister Rajiv Gandhi in 1987.
See, I didn't have that information.
No, you didn't. Nobody did. I didn't have that information. So the guy gets out of prison and he decides to become an astrologer.
What a great racket if you're a astrologer assassin.
Yeah.
Because you're like, this person's gonna die.
Yeah, you.
And then and then you kill him and you're like, I said it.
Yeah.
So.
Except for the part about getting arrested.
What a bad.
You should have think of that.
That was a good one. You should have seen that coming.
Yeah, that's right. But apparently in Sri Lanka, many follow astrology to identify auspicious times for occasions such as marriage, building houses, signing important documents, and, of course, assassinating presidents.
Interesting. I was in Thailand when the king died.
That was pretty bad. We've talked about that on the postgame. Asher spent some time in Thailand.
Yeah, she gave us some really great suggestions. Yes.
They're still in mourning there. That's a big deal.
But there was, like, I went there within the month after, mm-hmm. and they shut everything down. But similarly, when you're in Thailand, they have the lèse-majesté laws, which are like, you can't say anything bad about the royal family. You can't crumple up the money with their faces on it and throw it out, and you get arrested.
Who's throwing out money?
You can't even be like, here, go get that.
Oh, I see. Yeah. You can't make origami out of the.
Exactly. Origami.
Listen to you. Okay. All right. We got one last one. And the last one is in Bulgaria. So that one was about death. This one is genuinely like, this is not a depressing story, I don't believe. So, where's Bulgaria? There it is. I know we did both Romania and Bulgaria. I usually try to span the globe. And so, if you're going to take me to task for that, I will certainly understand. So, what is the question? A veterinarian in Bulgaria is looking to find a home for what? Is it A, a cat with two bionic rear legs? B, a stray dog that saved a toddler from a barn fire? C, a parrot that's congenitally unable to grow feathers? Or D, himself after his wife caught him engaging in animal husbandry?
Hey-o!
Steve, you got your answer?
Why husband?
He's guessing the parrot.
Why husband the animal when you can get the milk for free? Am I right?
We have an A.
Dave. Change.
Dave's gonna change his.
I haven't changed this since before the question.
So you were just gonna go A no matter what. Steve doesn't. He doesn't even try anymore. He just goes. So we have A, C,
choice.
And what did you say, Steve?
C.
You said C. All right. Let's find out what the correct answer is. Irma, correct answer is. Yay!
Yeah!
A cat with two bionic rear legs. I believe you were both 1 for 5. Steve was 0 for 5, and you guys were 1 for 5 each.
We're so dumb.
You got the last one.
And I changed from A, because there are no bionic. Like, if you had said artificial, I would have guessed A.
I was at the Waltham Innovation Center in Waltham, Massachusetts,
mm-hmm.
I met a bionic dog who was implanted with a radio transmitter that would be turned on by playing a frequency, and it would report its vital signs back to the ops tent in the military field. And it used its biofeedback in order to tell people the kind, like if it smelled bombs, it would have a certain heartbeat, and then it would report it back. So there's bionic stuff.
Were there any bombs in Waltham?
Animals are innocent.
Animals are innocent.
So good.
But they can help us. Thank you, Bart. So we have a video of this bionic cat that Dave says is not really bionic. We'll see if he's...
You said we had a video at the beginning of the show. I should have used that as a clue. Every little detail to take it to get it.
Really, a lot of thinking. Irma, we got that?
Animals are innocent.
So innocent.
I don't know what bionic means. Those are artificial legs.
It means there's two onyx in it.
They are, there you go. They, but they're blades. You know, they're referred to as blades, bionic blades, like, what's his name?
The Blade Runner?
Oscar Pistorius.
And there is a sad element to this story, which is that this cat, after the surgery, executed or killed his girlfriend. Shot his girlfriend to death.
Manslaughter. Really cat slaughtered.
Horrible, horrible story. All right, so the cat lost its legs in an accident, and now it's able to walk again.
Not funny, haha.
And thank you. And the cat's name is Pooh.
Really?
P-O-O-H, like Winnie the Pooh. And now, but we need to, they're looking for a...
But you haven't answered my question.
What is bionics?
What makes those legs bionic legs?
That they're artificial, I guess.
Which part of bionic?
Bionics has lost all meaning.
Did you not understand, Other Barry? Archer reference.
Other Barry. All right, so now we're going to go, we have a few minutes left. We're going to go on to a new feature, which is where Malcolm finds some sort of clickbaity story on the internet and decides, hey, let's talk about that. And the clickbaity story I found on the internet revolved around ways to spot an American abroad. So if, specifically Europe, I think generally, so this won't apply to other countries or other continents as much.
This won't apply to allied countries.
I don't know if we have any allies anymore.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Definitely not Europe. Europe's not allied. So,
they don't like us anymore, and with good reason. So it was a list of readily identifiable American traits for tourists, and I thought we could talk about whether we exhibit these traits or not. This is a very pop trigger. This is a pop trigger type segment?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you'll feel comfortable doing it. All right, so the first one, Irma, bring it up, please. Number one is not understanding the metric system. So apparently, you know, you go over there and people say, oh, it's going to be 30 degrees tomorrow. And you're like, oh, I hope I have a coat.
Just divide it by two and
add and divide it by two.
Just divide it in half and add 30. It's going to be 18 degrees.
No, it's
multiply it by two.
Yeah.
And add 30.
But it's not just temperature. It's also kilometers and so on. So you're good with the metric
Temperature's
system.
Temperature's the hardest one. You're good with the metric system?
No, I know it. I'm not good with it. But like, it takes me a couple seconds to recalibrate.
So if somebody says, "Oh, it's 100 kilograms," you don't have an intuitive sense of that's
220 pounds. Huh?
Yes.
No, you just double it and add 30. So if it's like 0 degrees Celsius, you double it and add 30, and that's your
Fahrenheit. But we've moved on from temperature, Bart.
If you double zero and add 30, let me see what you get for double.
Yeah, it's actually.
We'll come back to you.
You add 32, actually, but it's 9/5, not doubling it. But whatever. So okay, so that's one that you feel relatively comfortable. All right, what's the next one?
I counteracted it.
Perfectly straight pearly whites. So Americans tend to have really straight teeth that Europeans, not so much, because they don't. They don't all get braces and spend thousands of dollars.
Get it. I have bad teeth.
Do you have bad teeth?
No.
But do you think you're identifiable as an American from pearly whites?
Mine are not perfect pearly white.
There's probably also like we get veneers and whitening and all that more than Europeans. Do you have good teeth?
We should. I paid enough for them, or my parents did. They're straight enough.
Yeah, because normally straight teeth are not that straight.
Yeah, but it's better to have straight teeth, I think.
Well, it's not.
When I was a kid,
we're not placing a value judgment on here. We're just talking about whether you're exhibiting American traits.
Here's what I'm saying: there's going to be a list of things about American tourists, and I just assumed they all implied we were the worst people on earth. And I'm glad to see that this one's like, oh, your teeth are straight. Good for you.
Right, but there is a pejorative sense that we spend thousands of dollars on something.
Yeah,
that is
but
not,
now we're hunting.
Purely
now we're hunting for stuff. I think they're like, that's good.
Well, hunting is actually the third one. So,
all right, let's see it.
No, it's not really. What's next, Irma? Next is wearing baseball caps. When you travel in Europe, do you wear a baseball cap, Dave? Or even South America? When you're, are you guilty of this one?
No, I'm not.
No.
Guilty,
Steve is.
Steve does.
Steve says I do that. Yeah, you're
no braces,
just
really?
Naturally perfect. Wow, good
for you,
Steve.
Dude. See, I didn't have. I don't think I would wear a
baseball cap traveling internationally. Here's the question though: when you are in like Italy or somewhere where you or France and you go to the beach, do you go shorts, swimsuit, or do you go, Speedo?
I don't wear anything.
Yeah, but
in Europe, you're gonna see it. Here's the thing. When I go to Europe, I will wear the board shorts. But I went on a cruise once in the Mediterranean, and it was all Italian people. And I didn't know what penises were supposed to do in Speedos until then. And the answer is, I thought they went down, but instead they're like this.
Okay.
They go up and to the side like that.
Mine does a little Salt Bay thing.
A what?
Salt Bay. Yeah. So would you do Speedo or board shorts? See, I think you would stand out so much, I would rather do the Speedo, even if I don't feel comfortable about it at first. Plus, you'd have that tan line, where it's all white down there.
No, yeah. I wouldn't do Speedo. I don't think I've been to the beach in Europe ever.
Well, a lot of this is theoretical. All right. So baseball cap. Would you wear a baseball cap or no?
No, but if there's sun, I'll wear a full-brimmed hat.
Yes. Yes! Damn it! You gotta take a stand.
He wears that like gaucho hat with the little balls hanging down from it.
Yeah, he's a flamenco dancer.
I like that. Okay?
I think I would probably forego the baseball cap because I know it's such a quintessentially American thing. All right, next. I think I've been guilty of this next one, which is wearing white socks. Not with the sandals necessarily. But I would wear probably sneakers with white socks and shorts. While in Europe, I've probably done that, and that would. But they tend to wear the black socks. It looks terrible to me, or dark socks. Man.
Really?
Yeah, it strikes me as if. But
what are you wearing now? Well, dark socks. You're wearing. He's wearing black socks right now.
I'm a hypocrite. I'm the worst.
Kohler, what you got on?
Mismatched color socks.
Really? I do that.
Yeah.
They're matching. They're both a different color.
No, they're the same color, but they don't match anything else that I'm wearing.
So they're not mismatched. Got they're it. Just so you're unmatched. You're clashing. Yeah. Your socks clashing. Are clashing with yeah. the rest of your outfit.
My mom got me these. Look at that.
That's something else that you have in common with Steve, is that your mom does clothes shopping for you.
takes a lot of the pressure off.
My mom's awesome.
Steve goes back to New Jersey and his mom takes some clothes shopping.
Wait, my mom's awesome. What's your mom's name?
Ginny.
No way. Seriously. Not kidding. Ginny. Jenny? Ginny. God, we're the same person.
We're identical.
That's why I could sit in this seat.
You're slightly better at Weekly World News than
Dave. Yeah, I got one.
I thought she's white Asian.
Yeah?
All right, moving on. What's next? What's next? This one I know that Steve, or that Dave does not qualify, and Steve does not qualify. But never mind, not knowing a foreign language.
Say.
If you know one, you know. If you don't, you know.
Right.
Leave us alone.
Well, we do know a foreign language if we're in your country. It's English.
Yes.
Think about that. We don't just don't know your language.
Language.
So, do you speak any foreign languages?
Not post-Brexit Europe. Sí. Parlo un po' del italiano. Puedo parlar español muy bien. Je parle un peu de français.
Okay.
So I speak less. The more my accent is, the less of the language I speak.
Okay. So the better your accent, the less of the language you speak.
No, the more the accent.
The more.
The better accent, the more I speak. But
the more exaggerated the accent, the less you actually speak.
Oui.
Oui. Oui.
You cover it up with the exaggerated accent.
And you're Spanish. You're fluent in Spanish, but you have a terrible American accent. Even I can tell.
It's not terrible, but it's an American accent.
I speak Slovene. Je to tvoja denarnica means, is this your purse? And I speak Japanese. I can say kyotsukete ne oshiri ga ni atadio or something like that, which means watch out, the butt's going into your face.
Did you have some sort of very unusual Japanese to English dictionary when you were traveling?
I did a segment called Happy Japanese Clip Time about a game show where the object was to answer questions right, or the butt of your best friend would slowly be moved into your nose. I was like, kyotsukete ne. If you see something falling, just go, kyotsukete ne in Japan, and they'll be like.
Is that because that's the tagline of that game show?
Or it just no, it was the punchline, and we called Adam Yamaguchi, and we're like, how do we speak Spanish? They're Japanese, and he was like, here's the easiest thing I can teach your dumb mind. He's really smart.
All right, but that's Japan, and we're more talking about Europe. So, all right, we're almost halfway done. What's the next one?
Almost halfway done?
Fanny packs.
This is my favorite segment I've
fanny
ever
done. Fanny packs. This is one that I would not do.
But not that fanny pack, because that was a fashionable fanny pack.
That was kind of a ballsy fanny pack. It had, like, different compartments and stuff. But the fanny pack, that's a real, identifier of boorish American.
Yes.
I've worn fanny packs in early years of travel, but I wouldn't anymore and don't.
Because
but they're really convenient.
They are, but they're also convenient for getting... Well, I know where they go. Wait, see, the funny thing about fanny packs is that...
I was waiting for this.
If you wear them in the back, it's an American fanny pack. But if you wear it in the front, right?
It's a British fanny pack.
Because funny. Why is that? Because...
Because, as Malcolm will tell you...
But you will...
Fanny is the lady part.
Fanny the lady means part. Is our. That's what Donald Trump grabs when he goes to England.
Exactly. That's a delicate way to put it.
Yeah.
That's not to say that Europeans don't have ridiculous looking bags because they have these strange, like, why does it have a thick strap if the thing you're holding stuff in is only that big? Like, they have their own ridiculous equivalent of the fanny pack. It's just not specifically the around the belt fanny pack, which we practically use because we can pull our sweatshirt down over it.
Right. I mean, the fanny pack, there's nothing wrong with it. It's perfectly, as you point out, it's perfectly suitable. It does its job very well. It's like a Bluetooth device. It's perfectly serviceable, but you still look like a douchebag when you're wearing it. There's no avoiding it. So, all right, next is tipping.
Mm.
Not cow tipping. That's a very American thing to do. You don't do that in Europe. But tipping, they don't tip, and so this is another one where it's like, oh, is that such a terrible thing that you would tip? Like, I can't believe a waiter in France would be like, oh, I can't believe he give you extra money. But Americans often will tip because they are, that's what we do here, and they presume that we do that there. But that's, I guess that's just a matter of not understanding international culture and not doing any research before you go.
What's interesting is it implies how much we assume that the waiters don't get paid enough. Right? Yeah. So we're like, oh, you must be like us and not pay your wait staff crap.
Yeah.
So we obviously should be, you know, in giving you extra cash.
They should collectively not clue us in about tipping, that they don't tip, because why would, I mean, this is more money of ours.
In Japan, they're like, no, I can't. That's an insult, most places.
In Thailand, I'll just crump up the money and throw it at them.
Right, get arrested. Just do that.
So, all right, next, number 8, going to McDonald's. Would you do this? Would you go to McDonald's when you were in Europe somewhere?
Yeah.
So if they're there, then the Europeans, I got to break it. Hate to break it to you, Europeans are going also.
But apparently, not so much. Like, apparently it's a lot of American tourists who go to the McDonald's in these various countries that keep them, that sustain them.
That was a ham-based in Spain. I know they do ham-based. For my birthday last year, I went to McDonald's in Tokyo. That was my birthday dinner last year. And we tried all the ridiculous stuff. Now, it's not that we're going there. When you go on vacation, you want to, you know, immerse yourself in the culinary experience of Italy, and you want to go have, you know, pasta on the Spanish steps and all that stuff. But there comes like a point 5 days in where you're like, all right, I just need a burger. I'm going to kill myself. And that's when we go. Not all of us are, just like you reach a point where you're like, okay, I'm doing great, I love this country, but I just need a me meal.
I'm so glad this is proving therapeutic for you, Brett, to work out some of your issues, because I thought it was just going to be a fun segment, and you are really, it's cathartic.
It is.
And I'm so glad for you. But on an earlier Friday postgame, we learned that in Japan, traditional Christmas dinner in Japan is Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Yes, it is.
And so you went for a birthday at McDonald's. There may be a whole, I don't know, maybe Flag Day is Pizza Hut and so on and so forth. Or maybe that's in Costa Rica, that's why the guy has to partake because of the crowds. He's packing. All right, what's next? Not caring about soccer. Turns out in Europe and around the world, they care a lot about soccer, and we don't. And when you're an American and you go and it's the World Cup and the country is playing in the World Cup and there's a match and you're like, I don't really care, then they might, you know, treat you like Donald Trump treats refugees. But do you care about soccer?
I care more about it now. It's like baseball. I like baseball. I don't need to watch every game because there's so many all the time. But when in October, I watched the hell out of baseball.
Sure.
So soccer's the same way. It's like, I know what's happening. I know that when I see a highlight on SportsCenter that's really impressive, I'll go like, whoa, the same way I would for a slam dunk.
One of those slam dunks.
One of those slammy dunkies.
Yes.
Or a three-point shot that's difficult looking. Mm. But I will watch it for the spectacle surrounding major tournaments. So Euro, I watched a ton of. My girlfriend and I got dressed up like we were from the Ukraine, even though we weren't, and went to like a place that was playing it and pretended to be all into it. Really enjoy it, but I don't feel as compelled by any given game unless I know there's something larger riding on it, because the action within the sport doesn't reward me as much as I need it to.
Random Mexican League soccer game and sit there and watch it.
No, sir.
But maybe the World Cup, if it's big and you are trying to get in touch with the Ukrainians, ironically.
But the one time I've been to Europe in the past many, many years was during a World Cup, and I was looking forward to it. It was a France-Mexico match, and we went out to a restaurant. Yeah, it was on all the TVs, but there was no excitement for it, even though it was France, and we were in France.
What?
There weren't people in the streets. But that was the year that everyone hated the French team, and they sucked.
Zinedine
had something to do
with it. It was the next one after they won, and they did terribly.
They didn't make it
out of the initial round. Well, I love soccer, so I don't qualify. This is one that I've given up watching football. I don't pay attention to American football anymore, and I've totally adopted the English Premier League, and I pay attention to soccer, and so this is one way that I am ashamed. I'm not a proud American, and I will fit in. So next, we only got a couple more. This is you made a reference to this earlier, walking while eating, eating on the Spanish steps. This is among the ones that I saw, probably the most surprising to me, because it didn't even occur to me, and I would definitely do that. I would walk while eating, and that's apparently not something Europeans do, that they just sit and eat their meals. They're like, we got to get where
that's
we're going.
Shit to do, yeah.
Yeah, we're busy. But that's one that I'd say, okay, yeah, I guess that's something we do, and I guess they don't.
Apparently.
Would you do that? I mean, is that something you would do when you're traveling in Europe?
for the same reason I would do it here, because I gotta want to get somewhere quickly.
Right.
And I'm hungry.
But they don't do it. Yeah. They don't do it. What about you? You guilty of this one?
They go so far as to take major thoroughfares that it should be for cars.
Right.
And just put tables on them.
I know, it's outrageous.
It's just the plaza. You're like, oh, this seems like well, cars should come from here and go through. But it's like, no, this whole thing just for sitting and drinking coffee. I went to, in Italy, I tried to send something from the post office, and I was like, can I have a box to put something in? And they were like, no, idiot. And then I talked about it with some people who lived there later, and they were like, listen, only things we care about are fashion, history, and food. And they said it like that.
What did that have to do with whether you can get a box to send something?
Because everything else is unimportant.
What if you were sending a fashionable item of clothing?
They wouldn't care. They're like, listen, wear it, do it. But they're like, food is so important to us that we will just stop doing everything, sit down for hours in the middle of the day,
right,
and eat it.
Yeah.
And I get that. And I think when a lot of Americans go to visit Italy, say, or Spain, they want to sit out in the... They should at least take some time to appreciate the...
When in Rome.
Hey, it's 3 hours in the middle of the day where you eat and sleep in Spain.
Whereas like, you're great. Running up and down the Spanish steps
your
pasta.
No, you go get pasta, you take it and sit on the Spanish steps and eat it there. And I don't know, relax.
That seems like it's somewhere in between. So, but this is one I would definitely do and not even think about it. This next one I would also probably do and not know. Request ice in drinks. So they apparently Europeans they don't get ice in their drinks. They don't like their drinks watered down. They don't.
Ask for ice, they give me one cube.
Yeah, Steve said he asked for ice when. Where were you? Were in Norway?
No, this is
in Germany.
This is in France.
In France, and they gave him one cube of ice. Like, assholes. Hey, it doesn't grow on trees.
It's like we invented this soft drink. This is from our country. We know how to play. We know how to drink it. Coca-Cola. It's Atlanta. I don't know.
That one. Awesome, but so. Would you ask for ice in your drinks and be like, they brought it to you, we'd be like, hey, where's the ice?
No, wouldn't care.
But just, you know, for you at home, that's a little one if you want to, you don't want to identify yourself readily to the waiter who you're later not going to tip also. Don't ask for ice. And then the last one is talking to strangers. Just randomly striking up conversations with other people in line or wherever you are. That's something that Europeans don't do.
This sounds more English than anything.
I think that, you know, that's probably true, but I think it's probably more.
If you follow these rules, what's the point of going to?
If you can't eat while you're wandering around a city, why go?
Yeah, and you can't wear a hat, or else you're gonna get sun.
I can't wear white socks with my Birkenstocks. I don't want to go.
Right. I was in a trip once. I think it's the same. It's all the same trip I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's not like I go all the time. But I was in Spain and we were having a conversation, and these little kids came up to us who. From Spanish kids, and they just did an impression of us, which to them was shmi shma. So that's what we look and sound.
That's what we look and sound. That's English to them.
And then in LA, I was like, "What do you think of Americans?" They're like, "Well, usually they weigh 1,000 pounds and they're drinking giant soft drinks."
That's not far off.
That's what they said. Europeans.
They're pretty right, I think.
Now the prevailing sentiment is for them to hate each other more. They're all Europeans. Populist. They're like, screw you, Italy. Screw you.
So, well, they're, you know, they believe in their heritage, and they like to, you know, they're romanticizing their past, and they want to go back to where they were all engaged in world wars against one another. So, well, thanks for tuning in. So we're done. I hope you have a great weekend. Thanks to Brett for sitting in. I'm sorry he didn't really have a chance to chime in at all, but. You know, maybe next time once he gets
the fuck else
he's
supposed to do on the show, but talk.
And Steve, thank you for racing back, even if you didn't get to participate. Don't play me out, son of a bitch, Bart. Don't play me out. Don't you play me out? Who am I, Meryl Streep? So, talentless hack. We thank you for watching. We appreciate it. Let us know what you think about all this stuff that we talked about in the comments. I read the comments. Sometimes I comment on the comments. Brett won't, but I will comment about Brett in the comments, and he won't see him. So, thanks for appreciate your tuning in and. As always, on your Friday post game, we like to tell you, stay strong.